episode 409, March 4th, 2019.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
The punk? Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
We are back, folks. Good to be back. The Rob and Joe Show, our 1 week off, our hiatus.
I don't remember taking a week off. And what do we take, one a year, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. You know, we're hardworking here at the Rob and Joe Show.
I mean, we
churn
I know
it
that
out.
Was sarcasm, but I mean, there aren't many podcasts that are more consistent than ours over the period of time that we've done it.
Yeah, I mean, not in terms of when the show comes out each week, but in terms of delivering a product. Yes.
Those of you who aren't listening live don't know this, but we are very, very prompt.
So Sunday night, I had a full night of watching Leaving Neverland, Part 1. Part 2 is airing tonight, Monday night. And then I watched Free Solo, the rock climbing movie. And then I watched Crashing with Rob Spiewak and Sarah Fraser.
I've watched none of those.
I got a taste of everything.
I did see a movie. God, I saw They Shall Not Grow Old. Have you ever even heard of this?
No, and then you told me about it. It's a World War One Peter Jackson documentary.
Yeah, first thing I want you to know is in World War One, we used horses. Are you aware of that?
I am not aware of that.
Okay, so World War One ended in 1919.
We still had horses.
So
that were active.
They were also moving some stuff around in the woods. The wheels were wooden. Okay, so that was happening.
We've come a long way.
And then 23 years later, we dropped a hydrogen bomb.
Yeah, progress.
That's a long way in 23 years. But regardless, anyway, so I walk in. We actually buy tickets late because we're running late. We didn't think we were going to see it. And they're like, you know, we have time. So I buy tickets. And we're sitting near the back, not on the end where we like to sit, but two seats in.
Do you buy assigned seats here?
Yeah, if they have the stadium seating, you have to buy assigned seats.
Okay.
So I go up to my seats, and there's a guy, one seat's empty, and there's a guy in the seat, which would be Katie's seat.
All right.
Okay? So I go, yeah, sir, this is my seat. He goes, you want me to move? Now, as soon as he said that, I was fucking pissed, right? But I go, yes, I want you to move. I have somebody who I bought that ticket for. The lady next to me goes, shh. The movie started and I fucking lose it. Okay.
Is it packed?
It's obviously I'm all the way up at the back row with it. And I go, lady, someone is in this seat. What would you like me to do? Nothing. Okay. I'm sorry that you have your seat. By the way, this guy's off the hook now because I was ready to lay into this guy. And now all of a sudden, that guy just got up and moves like, fuck this. Right. And she goes, and I go, what would you have done, lady? Would you have stood for the movie? She goes, well, I wouldn't have been so loud about it. I go, well, you didn't mind being rude about it. Now,
wow.
As this is going on, Katie's like, hey, calm down. She's calming me down. And now I'm I'm not mad at Katie, but I didn't need that at that point in time. Let me finish what I'm doing here. Obviously, but she's like, hey, you need to calm down. I go, no, I don't need to calm down, okay? This fucking dick needs to get up out of your seat. I shouldn't have to be arguing with him. And this lady should shut the fuck up until this is resolved. Now,
you're
obviously,
cursing?
No, didn't curse once.
Okay.
Did not curse one time. Now I'm cursing now.
But you're speaking at an above, you should speaking
the
movie
balls
theaters.
On this lady, yes. Right? By the way, the last thing I would do with two arguing men is shush them. I would not do that. I'd be like, this is going to resolve itself. And then, you know,
is we'll go. Katie getting uncomfortable?
She just came over as this was happening. No, she just was trying to calm me down. Now, I calmed down pretty quickly, but then I'm next to the lady that, you know what I mean, for 2 hours. Okay, so I'm next to her. So that was a little, okay, now, did you know what this movie's about?
I told you, World War One documentary.
Yeah, it's about how, barely,
but
how,
that's all I know.
How difficult it, well, I mean, even the time, you know what I mean? You know, in, I think it was 1893, I heard, the average American lived on what would be the equivalent of a dollar a day in today's money.
So the irony of you complaining about this, this little back and forth with the movie you're watching.
Well, that was the thing. This lady beside me, who I already had a problem with, every single time something horrible, she'd be like, oh, no. Oh, like she was just this bleeding heart.
How
right?
old was she?
She was probably in her 60s, right?
She's 94 years old.
She's by far, she's not anywhere near the oldest person I've ever gotten into that kind of fight with. As you know, I've mentioned on here, Marvin Mandel and I got into a shouting match, which I won,
former
also won.
Governor.
He's dead now, yes. Yeah. But anyway.
Governor of Maryland.
So now we're getting ready to leave, okay? And I'm like, I'm just going to walk out, right? I'm not mad, you know. Maybe I should apologize for yelling, but she needs to apologize for involving herself. It wasn't one of these things. I probably should have just apologized for
yelling. Were you able to enjoy the movie after that?
I literally snapped. It wasn't like a guys that were waiting to kick my ass. It was an old lady and another old
guy.
But
I mean, you got over the...
Yeah, I was.
You were able to focus on the film.
And after about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Obviously, I was still pissed for a while, and I finally calmed down. But we're getting ready to leave, and the lady goes, hey... I thought she was going to say, hey, I'm sorry. And if she would have said that, I would have said, hey, I'm sorry I got upset with you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're human. I'm fine, you know. But instead she goes, hey, I know you're mad at me, but there's a documentary at the end of this movie showing how it's made. And I was like, oh, thanks, but we're leaving anyway, right? Now, as
she's letting you know you can't start talking again is what she's saying?
I think she was letting me know, hey, even though we had this problem, this is the kind of person I am, I'm going to let you know that this is happening, right? But listen, that's very nice of her. Thank you so much for doing that. And I thanked her. And I said, yeah, oh, thanks. We're going to go ahead and go. And right as we were doing that, Katie spilled an entire fucking bucket of popcorn. It was is that big.
You didn't eat it yet?
Just her. I took a couple bites, but it was probably 2/3 full. And she spilled it all in front of the other guy. The guy who wouldn't get up. And then you know what we did?
You ran.
We just walked out and left a pile.
Yes.
It didn't spill in front of her. It spilled in front of him. And then we literally just left the theater.
What are the chances those two talked about you two once you left? They said something.
The real thing is, what are the chances they didn't? There's zero chance that they didn't.
So you say you were sitting at the top, but that's not your go-to seat when you...
No.
See, we always get the back row.
Yeah, but you don't know new movies. You don't do that anymore. That's old.
What do you mean? I know. With the recliners.
Because of the stadium seating, the back seats aren't as good. They aren't the premium seats anymore. And what you want to do
Why not?
Because the way that it used to be, you go back like this.
Yeah.
Now you go up like this, right? Your angle is like, you know, not 45 degrees, but it's a whole different animal, right? So now where you want to be is there's the row, where you walk in, there's usually 2 or 3 rows in front of where you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can either go to the next row or the next row up. And on the end, those are the best seats.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I mean, I don't like anybody behind me. So that's more important to me than any sort of angle at the screen. I don't like anyone behind me. That's more important to me than my vantage point of the screen. Assuming I have a
By the way,
point of the
there's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not what you think. There isn't anybody behind you that has to look past you. There's a wall now. So seats behind you, the people don't just sit behind you. There's now a wall.
Well, in Columbia, there is.
There may be, but not if there's stadium seating.
There's no wall.
There's a wall. And every time there's stadium seating, there's a wall. I'm telling you right now, there is.
I don't know what a wall. How do they see the movie if there's a wall? I don't understand.
The wall isn't so high that it affects it. But you could actually, it's a row. There's a wall and then a row and then where your seats recline to.
Okay, there's still somebody behind me though.
Right, but they are up. So they're literally like 10 feet above you. It's not like there's people. You know, you remember I used to have to kind of move your head around in order to see the people in front of you.
No, I know it's not a vision thing.
But I'm saying there's a wall. Yeah. You couldn't turn around and see the people behind you.
No, no, no. You don't understand me. I don't like anyone behind me. It has nothing to do with seeing them or them touching
you.
Me.
People are behind
they
you.
They can see me. I don't like that.
If Katie's in your in the bedroom, she's behind you. You don't like it? It bothers you?
No. Joe, there's not a wall, a giant wall.
There is. It's all the way to the top of the your seat, and then there's a wall. It's probably maybe 2 feet high that sits above that in all stadium seating, and then you cannot physically turn around and see the people behind you.
I don't believe that's accurate in Columbia, Maryland.
All right. Well, we'll have to. Maybe we'll go to Katie and I go to which one? The one near where Phil lives? Or
that's
the one
we usually go to, where Phil lives.
Okay,
yes.
And that has stadium seating.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'm not worried that Katie's in the other room. With an actual.
Hey, what about when you're driving?
I like to be in the back seat.
I always
pick the back seat if there's three people.
You've seen The Godfather. You're afraid somebody's going to cap you.
No, I just don't like people. You know, I assume someone's talking about me behind my back.
Look at this redhead.
Yeah, the redhead joke that only Joe makes. welcome to the show, the Joe, the Fighter Robinson, arguing with 60-year-olds in a movie theater about World War I. That's a very old man thing to do, that whole sentence.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question, because I remember you getting... Last fight I heard that you got into like that was when you were... Remember you were selling those things, you got a free gift or whatever, and you threw it?
Yeah.
So that was a very similar thing where somebody was way out of line, and then you got upset, right? What would you have done if you were where I was in my situation?
I would have... I would have just said, ma'am, I'm just trying to get the seat that we paid for. That's all. I apologize. But I you seemed like you came in and angry. So
no.
You seem like you were already at a level. Robbie,
well, no,
you're hearing this.
In an argument with another person, and then she interjected herself. That's what, you know what I mean?
Right.
Imagine if you're arguing with somebody, and all of a sudden I come in and I just start taking their side, but you're angry. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, hey, stay out of it, dick. You know what I mean? That's...
Yeah, but I am terrified of the idea of having tension for 2 hours. So
no,
that's what I'm trying to avoid.
There's no way for me to have given that the forethought, right?
Yeah.
Just, I would never have prepared for that. As soon as I saw this guy in the seat, I still wasn't upset. As soon as he acted like he wasn't going to move.
No, I get that.
And Katie was going to have to sit 2 seats away. I was fucking furious. So now I'm like prepared to literally start yelling at this guy. And then this lady...
The question is,
she worms her way in.
What would Robbie have done? That's the real question. The real hothead of the group.
Robbie?
In Joe's situation, I probably would have done something similar to what Joe did.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hey, I told you the story before, which my father isn't going to remember, but one time we were seeing a movie. It was a war movie, Robbie. You remember that? I don't remember what exactly the movie was, but it was like, you know, Bridge Over the River Kwai or something like that. and my father... We've told this story before. We were in the Crofton Cinema, and my father went into the snack bar because they didn't put enough butter on his popcorn.
That's where Robbie gets some of that from.
And they said something equivalent of that'll be 15 cents. Now, I'm sure my father tells the story now, it's probably 10 bucks, but it wasn't. I remember it, 15 cents. And he goes, no, you didn't put enough on it to begin with. And they're like, sorry, sir, that's our policy. And he dumped the popcorn on the counter. So you better fucking give Gramps butter.
Mac Bergson is standing up and applauding right now.
Yes, he's like, any good red-blooded American Marine would have done the same thing. How dare you, sir, be popcorn without enough butter?
Well, this is what the power of a strong black woman. This is what Tawanda did when we had a little sump pump situation, or I don't even know what happened. Nothing big. Maybe it was a humidifier. Something wasn't working, and they came out, and then they called to say that it wasn't part of our insurance. And care to guess what Tawanda did for them to make it part of the insurance and not charge us?
There was obviously a threat.
I want to – well, it's something that – you have to be able to pull that off. You have to be able to commit to it. I'll tell you what she did. How about this? Go ahead. I'm Tawanda. You're the person on the other end of the line.
All right.
We're not going to cover it. It's not covered in your insurance.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm the sump pump guy, right?
Yes.
I'm so sorry, ma'am. I was just looking through your policy, and it appears that the sump pump is actually not covered. So you will be responsible for the entire cost of replacing it. Hello? Are you there, ma'am? Oh, I guess we got disconnected. Click.
No, she just does nothing, and then they say, oh, but you're our really good customer, and they took care of it.
So she
did. She said nothing.
That's pretty good. I was thinking about this. We had our one-year inspection for our house, mm-hmm. and we have in our kitchen, when they put the hardwood floor down, there's a couple places where there's a gap that's too bigger than it should be.
Yes.
And also our driveway, it appears that there's, you know, it looks like it's wearing away in some places, right? So I said, hey, can this be fixed? He goes, oh, no, in the summertime, that'll expand. It'll be fine. I said, okay. Then I said, what about this driveway? He goes, oh, no, that's not covered. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I mean, what
I would do. All right.
I don't know what to say to him.
I can't. I don't have a comeback. Because whatever you say, I'm just going to, I guess he's right.
Do you have the contract? I don't. I guess you're 100% right. So.
So we had our debut of our 90s murder mystery this past Wednesday in Annapolis at the Rams Head. I got to say, it was a home run. It was one of the best crowds we've had there in a long time in terms of participation. And numbers-wise, I thought the show went really well. But before the show, something amazing happened that Robbie and a certain female, and Gramps and Tawanda went to the adjoining restaurant for a double date. Matter of fact, Gramps called me a few days before on my cell phone to make sure that Tawanda was coming to this. So he basically asked her out through me.
Read the text if you have.
No, he called me, Joe. I answered the phone.
Oh, you did?
It says, I have Gramps in my phone. I say, hello? Yes, this is Gramps. On at the Rams Head, I would like Tawanda to accompany myself and Robbie and blank to the Rams Head bar first for a meal.
Hey, there was a fifth person.
Okay, that's right, but I didn't know that at the time. Jeff Hancock was there on his birthday, so it ended up being five. So that's a good question, Robbie. I wasn't there. I gave Tawanda, I gave her a credit card, but I was assuming that someone would pay other than her. Can you tell us how this meal went?
Do you guys seriously not know who paid?
No, I don't.
It was Gramps.
Whoa.
Okay, good for you, Gramps. Gentlemen. Now, I know that Tawanda has a new hair situation, and that Gramps walked right past her, didn't recognize her.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I believe she was the only black woman in the entire room, so.
Well, you thinking that would help narrow it down?
That would probably help. Yeah.
So what was the conversation like, Robbie?
You're allowed to say who the other person was. I mean, You said someone.
No, he said Jeff Hancock.
Oh, you mean, I never know the rules. Why don't you just say it?
Yeah, beforehand, Robbie, you told us to be careful.
I'm the person who can't say it.
I got it, but then we also can't say her name, so that's really the best way to...
Robbie's new female friend.
There you go.
Thank you. That's all you got to say.
God forbid you would have said that. I don't know what happens in your house. An alarm goes off or something. And
listen, just give me a break over here, guys.
So it's a double date. You and a lovely young lady and Gramps and Tawanda. It's a weird combination of people. And Jeff Hancock.
It was.
You have a fifth wheel.
Very weird. I even said at the table, I said, what are the odds for the rest of our lives that these five people are eating a meal together?
Did you say next murder mystery?
Yes. Was Gramps carrying the conversation? Because he can't hear, so he has to do all the talking, right?
No, it was a combination. I think everybody got their, bits and pieces in.
Who was the dominant? Who was the alpha?
Tawanda, I think.
Well, she told me that you told the story about how you and Joe met Tawanda before I did at the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, talked about that.
And that she was very attracted to your cameraman at the time.
Yes. She said the cameraman was hot.
Who was the cameraman?
I don't remember the guy's name. I vaguely remember him.
Oh, that's right. Chris Restivo.
Well, I was hoping you'd have a great story, Robbie, but I guess there was nothing.
Unfortunately, unless Tawanda said that Gramp said something inappropriate, then I don't have anything because I was not told anything that was said inappropriate. In fact, it was implied that nothing inappropriate was said from my dad because I left kind of partly through the meal because I had to go, start the music for the show.
Well, I will say Robbie's obviously very excited about his new relationship because I've never in my entire life seen, since we've been doing this murder mystery, see Robbie leave the booth.
No, that was huge.
That was a huge thing for
Robbie.
Robbie.
Yeah. I mean,
that is definitely groundbreaking.
She
for
doesn't
you, Robin.
Have any idea what a move like that means.
Well, think about this woman. She's now seen three of our shows. Combined, how many shows have Justin, Tommy, and Eric's other half seen?
I don't think three for any of them.
No, I'm thinking it's... I think Tommy's woman's seen a few, but I don't think the others have seen any.
Yeah, no. Been to... Oh, shoot, cut that out, Robbie. Erica has been to... Erica Woodworth has been to at least one I know
okay.
of.
Okay, well, maybe Justin's woman has been to one or two.
She's been to the one... I know she was the one at the one in Arlington, but whatever. What is interesting is Gramps is in chat upset about the butter story. He's saying that they didn't put a little bit of butter on. He said they didn't put any butter on. And as a result, it made sense for him to dump that popcorn on the counter because it's not that it was a little. It was that it was none.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back and more butter talk. Rob and Joe Show.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, April 20th at Amp by Strathmore. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
I mean, there are reasons that we want to be feel terrified, or we want to feel sad, you know, or we want to feel love, happy, whatever.
Sing for Life, I get shit on more, by the way, as my character does, and the newly did. But that's not
true. I already was told that I couldn't wear sandals to the beach.
That's you know correct. Who wears a robe?
Katie.
Robbie.
He does seem like a robe guy.
He's a robe guy, yeah.
I am wearing short sleeves. It's going to be 90 degrees.
Okay, what is the dress code for a male that's not in the ceremony?
Hey. If you wear a short sleeve button down with a jacket over top of it, you are out of your freaking mind.
Whenever those emotions are authentic, for whatever reason, it's a release.
But other than that, Omaha was fantastic. Big fan. Want to go back.
I wouldn't mind being a lot thinner than I am right now, but yeah. I'm losing weight.
You and me both, buddy.
The listeners and shit... always trying to fuck with me.
This, how about this as a negotiation? Suck my dick.
Five plated coasters after a limited run is closing their doors under threat of lawsuit. Please look for the rise of six plated coasters. The extra plate beats extra value.
Why do you guys have to torture me?
I don't know. I'm stuck in the Everglades.
Would you have dinner with Jeremy?
No. I feel like everything you're saying now, you just said in this interview.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Nicely done, my friend. Hey,
I feel like sometimes the montage is better than the show.
Yeah, I know. We should just stop.
Bravo, Jim Amato.
For the record, Robbie does not wear a robe. Robbie owns a robe, but Robbie hasn't worn a robe in probably 15 years.
What about slippers?
I'm so sorry that I said that.
I do occasionally put on slippers, but like Gramps is going outside shoes. They're more for the take out the garbage, something like that.
Is this review from iTunes, Robbie?
Yes, it's from iTunes.
5 stars, thank you. Saved my marriage is the subject. The Rob and Joe Show is a good, but it's better. It's good, but it's better for your soul. I was a bit of a lost sheep. Marriage was on the rocks. We tried counseling. Nothing seemed to work. I was scared we had truly just fallen out of love. But then I stumbled upon Robbie Robinson's sex mix, and wow. The first night I played the sultry sounds of Glenn Frey's You Belong to the City. Things got hot really fast. It was like we were 18 again. By the time we got to The Heat Is On, we were drenched in a pool of carnal juices. I can truly say that Robbie has saved my relationship and family. God bless this show, and God bless Robbie Robinson.
Nice. Hey, guest 7531 in chat said, you put the Rob in robe.
I want you guys to guess who wrote that.
Okay. It's somebody that is a listener.
You guys know.
Oh, we know personally?
Yes.
Jim Amato?
No.
No, they're in this guest 7531, so... I got to guess from everybody I know in the world. Can I have a little? Can I have Chris Estivo, Eric Woodworth, Jeremy Woodworth?
Eric, you said it. Eric Woodworth wrote it.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of Eric Woodworth.
Nicely done, Eric. He's lost weight.
Let me give a shout out to Quality Time, my favorite podcast. anyway, this week there's a long discussion about Glenn Frey, Robbie, which I can promise you do not want to hear. So I would do everything I could to avoid Quality Time this week. They discussed the movie Christine.
I've dedicated my life to avoiding Quality Time.
Well, if you thought you didn't like Quality Time before, Jeremy says, he says Smuggler's Blues is in Beverly Hills Cop, which, of course, the heat is on. And then he said Glenn Frey had nothing to do with writing Hotel California, a song on which he has a writing credit. They shit on Glenn Frey. You're not going to like it, Robbie. You're not going to like it.
There was something else that happened in Annapolis. There was someone who watched the show and got inspired. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, this is crazy. So tell me what to do here, okay? So my boss, who's also a friend of mine, mm-hmm. right, at my day job, him and his wife came to the murder mystery, the
Thank
90s murder mystery.
Thank you for your support.
And she was so, she loved it so much. It's the third one they've seen.
Okay.
She goes, I think I can write one of these. Okay? Now, she doesn't say this to me. She says it to my boss, right? And Jerry, who's also a listener. Anyway.
Or you keep forgetting to give me his information so I can invite him to the bachelor party in 2 weeks.
Hey, Jerry, if you're listening to this, text Rob your...
Why don't you just tell him about it when you see him at work?
Well, he just flew out of town. Forget it. He's in Louisville right now. Anyway, so he says, hey, she's going to try to write a murder mystery. I'm like, you're not going to be able to do this, right? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so as soon as he told me that, I sent her a text. I said, hey, I heard you're writing a murder mystery. Let us know when you're done so we can start booking shows, right? Now, I'm kind of being funny, but, you know.
Yeah.
But that was a mistake because then she started asking me questions about, and now she's going to write it, which that's really kind of a lose-lose for me. Maybe not a lose-lose, but so if it's bad, what am I supposed to do?
Okay, well, it's not just that it's...
We have to put it on now. We have to do it.
Well,
no, I'm not
I mean,
it.
There's no chance it's going to be better than what we would do ourselves, right?
I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, she seems...
But we know who we're writing for. We know how to make things work. We understand. She's just coming at it blind.
Yeah, she did ask me a question. She asked me a few questions, but one question, she says, hey, do you always have to have the DJ theme? And I'm like, no. As a matter of fact, the other two you saw didn't have that.
Yes.
So you're right that she wasn't paying close enough attention to know what the repeatable gags are, but maybe she's an excellent writer. But if it's not good, what am I going to do? I can't. I'm going to have to go.
What do you mean if it's not good?
When it's not
yes.
good. What am I supposed to do?
You're going to say it's great. It's just.
Not
it's
our thing.
Not our, well, just shit on the theme.
No, I'm not shitting on any
well,
of it.
Well, say it doesn't work for us. I mean, what's it going to be about?
I'll probably talk to Jerry and be like, hey, what's the approach here?
Will you read it? Because, you know, you wouldn't read Blame the Victim. My screenplay.
That's the other thing. I got to read it. You know what I mean? That's
I look forward to reading it.
I didn't think about that. Like, you know, like my uncle wrote a book. I didn't read it.
Well, that's a book is different.
Yeah, I remember. I think I told the story on here before. My friend Steve, you might have met him. Steve, he grew up across the street from me. He wrote a book.
Okay.
It's called Proximity. Robbie knows him. He lived right across the street from us. And he goes, hey, I wrote a book. Will you read it? And I said, no. I won't read the book he wrote.
No, I don't blame you. Because then you got to talk about it.
Well.
And you got
to
read it.
If I write, then I have to read it. Yeah. What if it's horrible? You know, to get through a bad book. Now, by the way, I'll bet it's not horrible, but I haven't read.
You're not a reader.
No, I've told this on here before. About 15 years ago, a coworker of mine gave me a book as a present, which is the shittiest present.
Well, Book on Tape by Scott Apple was pretty bad.
Well, that was even worse because the book that they got me was Secretariat, which is, I'm sorry, Seabiscuit.
Yes.
Which they made into a movie, and it was a great story, and also something I'm interested in. Scott Apple got me books on tape, hours and hours and hours of books on tape that I wouldn't even be remotely interested in.
Well, when is she going to have this for us? Does she have, I'd like some progress. I'd like if she's figured out a theme, a basic plot.
I can't text her at 8 o'clock at night.
How do you have her phone number? I mean, do you've got all your buddies' wives' phone numbers?
The story's too boring, but okay. I have it for another reason, is not interesting. But I'm not hiding it. Anyway, but yeah, the murder mystery is coming. I guess I'll read it, and then I'm going to ask my boss, hey, what if it's great, by the way?
Well, I don't want to use anything because we have to pay somebody.
Yeah. I'm going to say, look, thank you for writing this. What do you want us to do with it? Do you want us to give you $50?
We tweaked it a little bit. Come and see it on
Do you think, changes. Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think there'll be one thing out of that we will steal and then use going forward? We'll say, she did the murder. We could use that.
The better thing to do is, what are the chances that happens?
If there's one redeeming thing that we would put into our next murder mystery?
Well, she's smart.
Okay. All right. Are you smart?
Yes,
I'm very
smart.
Do you like football?
I do like football.
How many? Have you watched thousands of football games?
I have.
Can you write an NFL playbook? Can you do it?
No, I can't.
No, of course not.
I'm not even sure if I know all the positions right. And I do the pre-conduct. No, but yeah, you're right. It would probably, well, who knows? I mean, by the way, I'm not saying that it's going to be funny, but she's probably as good as writing a murder mystery as we are. I'll take the funny out.
Right. Well, I think we've done it enough times so that...
Yeah, you're right.
It's not easy.
No.
We're not mystery writers. We couldn't... It's a very thin mystery. We couldn't actually write a 250-page novel, a mystery novel. We don't...
No, matter of fact, our murder mysteries are about 12 pages long.
Exactly. And if they hit 14, you're like, oh, this is way too long.
Yeah, nobody's ever going to stay around for all this.
So we did a show. We had a new...
Wait a second. I think I got an idea for this, what we're going to do with this murder mystery.
Okay.
Marcus, do you think you could get your acting troupe to read it for us and record
the
whole thing?
Yeah, a table read.
Maybe a better thing. If it's serious and there's not enough laughs in it, we just ask Marcus if they'll put it on with the Vermont Players or whatever the hell the name is.
We actually perform it in front of an audience? Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be huge.
The players get together and read local scripts all the time. They do? Not worth a damn. So, yeah, we could throw that into the...
I love it. Can you record that for us?
Hold
please?
On.
Sure.
The players get together. They get together... And they do it all the time. We can't even get people to read the murder mysteries.
We're paying
they're going to be
them.
Yes. We're paying them. We can't get them to do it.
It's Vermont. There's far less up for us.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. So we did the new show Wednesday night, then a new venue, Croft and Country Club, your old stomping grounds.
Yeah. I even said during my intro, I used to own a home here.
Yeah, and it was a good turnout. You know, I feel good because it was everything I told them that would happen, because I first did comedy there right after the Super Bowl last year, and I've been trying to get the murder mystery there ever since. Probably been 10 emails, and I said it'll be packed, it'll be hilarious, you'll have a good time, you'll make money, and it all came to fruition. Now, it was a loud, rowdy, drunken, some tables that were... A little bit much.
Yeah. So let me say that. First of all, you know how many empty seats there were?
Very few.
Zero.
Okay. So
every
packed.
Seat was sold. Right. So, sorry. So I'm standing because I'm controlling the lights. And I'm watching the tables that if Robbie, where you're sitting, it's stage left. Okay. And they're talking. They won't stop talking.
And you have to be able to pay attention to just those plot points. It's not. You know, you got to, it's like anything, a movie, a play, a TV show, you got to pay attention.
And this lady comes up to me and she goes, hey, can you turn the sound? I said, I lied. I go, the room has the sound. I mean, we don't, we don't have anything to do with it, which of course is not true at all.
Because she sees Robbie plug right into the sound.
Eh, whatever.
3 feet, 2 feet away.
So anyway, because I'm like, they're talking. It's not, I promise you, if you fucking stop talking, you'll hear every word.
Yes.
I promise you, you will. But then I guess she was like, I can't hear. And now all of a sudden the husband came and I'm mad. And the reason I'm mad is that I know our show is being affected by the chatter. And the reason there's chatter is because the house lights are up, because it's not a stage.
Right.
Right. So, and
it's not a performance venue. It's a ballroom.
That's an issue. And let me jump out of that story real quick. The guy who does comedy there, He comes up and he goes, man, this is so great, blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, I just there wasn't so much chatter. He goes, there's nothing we can do about that. Now, if you fast forward, him and the bartender and a guy who used to be my neighbor are talking as loud as I am. And I literally walk over, I go, guys, shh. I'm like, dude, you run this room. You don't know not to talk as loud as you can. Doesn't matter. So now all of a sudden this guy's come to me and I'm already pissed. I'm looking at him because I know they're like just frustrated because they can't hear. And he's like, hey, is there any way to turn this? I said, sir, I'll go turn that thing. But I'm telling you, everyone in this area is talking. He goes, they're talking because they can't hear.
Oh,
I
man.
I said, listen, I don't know how to test that theory, but I'm telling you, if every single person, including the people at your table, are talking, you're never going to be able to catch. People have to be quiet. And by the way, everybody should be quiet. That's not us asking unreasonable expectations, right? You shouldn't be talking during a show. It's completely inappropriate, right?
Just treat it like a comedy show, a play, at the movies.
But anyway, luckily, even in spite of that, I thought people were going to complain. But it ended up being a home run. And as a matter of fact, somebody from the venue said it was the best show they've ever had there.
Yeah, no, we got glowing reviews. So we'll definitely be doing it there again.
Except for that table. They're not coming back.
But
I also think that it was the most drunk crowd we've ever had.
Yeah, it was.
And I think it has to do with because of their proximity to their homes.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. Hey, speaking of drunk, hey, Katie!
Yeah, we have a Katie story from that night.
Yeah, I think.
You get the lovely fiance.
I'm not sure. I wonder if they just see a hot chick and they go crazy, or if they think. Sorry. Because her boyfriend's old, but they don't know I'm your boyfriend when they say to see that you're a hot chick.
Well, let's just start with what we saw, and then Katie can explain. So it's in the reveal. We're at the very end of the show, and a guy just walks on stage, an old guy, and hands Katie a drink. And Katie's not really much of a drinker. So we're like, who is this guy? Why is he giving you a drink? And you just took it and accepted it like you were okay with it. It was weird.
Well, I'm not going to let her get raped.
No, not you. I mean, you, Katie. Was just like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, she knew. Like, how did you order a drink from this guy? It was weird.
From a guy, audience member?
Yes.
It was actually my second drink from him.
Oh.
So when we walk around during our little intermission, there was a guy and I guess his younger friend or something. It was kind of, that was a weird dynamic. It was like an older, good-looking guy.
Well, I didn't know you thought he was good looking.
Okay.
Well, this guy with a big dick.
Right, exactly. I said, do you guys have any questions? And he said, well, who did it? And I'm like,
don't tell him, but yeah, I mean, don't like, tell
not,
the audience.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not telling you. He's like, I'll give you $100 in cash right now to tell me who did it. I was like, okay, it was, well, sorry.
It's a pretty good deal.
Okay. So I told him, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I would have told him it for $5.
Yes. I was like, that's like more than I'm getting paid for the show. So no problem. So I tell him and he's like, is that really who it is? I go, yeah. And I said, give me $100. And he said, oh my God, I didn't bring any cash. I didn't think you'd really tell me. I'm like, you didn't think I would just tell you? You think it's that important
to me? For $100?
Right.
Of course.
He goes, well, what if I buy you $100 in alcohol tonight before you leave? I was like, okay. And he goes, all right, here's like $8. And he pushes his drink and gives it to me. And I go, what is it? He's like, it's a gin and tonic. Hey, I just drank the whole thing. I drank the whole thing.
Hey, thanks for saying you could buy the cast around. But no. All about you, Katie. I
he
see what you did.
He didn't want to buy us drinks.
No.
If he's buying $100 worth, what?
No,
she's not going to drink it all.
Because he wasn't being flirty.
Yeah. I know, but that was a way to call him on it and get us. You were so then, and then in the middle, that drink he brought up was drink number two.
Yes, the drink he brought up was drink number two, and then afterwards he said,
"I owe you $84."
Yeah, no, he did.
Why don't we make it up over dinner?
Well, no, he said, "I still owe you a bunch of money." And I'm like, I'm a man of my word. And I was like, no, I'm good. He goes, but I heard you have a fiance.
Oh, he wanted it.
This fucking guy.
This
well,
smooth.
You cock blocked me on stage.
God, Joe.
Sorry, I cock blocked you.
You like got that could have made it
what
$80.
What a dick you are.
$84, by the way.
$84.
That could have gone to the gift bags at the wedding.
Yeah.
By the way, you know how many times I've seen Katie drunk?
Three times.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
What about
much.
That night? She had two drinks in about 20 minutes.
She wasn't acting drunk.
No, I was fine. Oscar. Is that me?
Yes. Robbie's playing that like if you're. What is that? Hey, is that what she did when
Yes.
She okay. Play it again. Hey, I know exactly why you're singing that song.
Why?
Because that's the song from The Grinch.
Yeah.
And his feet got so hairy, he looked like he had Grinch feet.
Yeah. Okay. So nobody cares.
How often is Katie getting hit on in front of you in public?
Not as much as you think.
Well, I think Katie would be the one to know more than, because she might, there might be things when she's walking to the bathroom or back or the bar, something that happens that you're not aware of.
I don't get hit on nearly as much as I did 5 years ago. I mean, really, I know I'm not like old, but I mean, five years ago, I got hit on.
I mean, you hit the wall a couple years ago.
Man. yeah, you really let yourself go.
I probably get hit on more than Joe realizes I get hit on, but I don't.
You think the guy who wouldn't get out of your seat at the movie theater was hitting on you?
God, that guy did. No, can I say something about that?
Yeah, you're
spilling the popcorn.
I thought you were 100% correct, but I hated that you got loud with her.
Yeah, it was probably not. But again, you ever see the movie L.A. Confidential?
Yes.
Remember when?
But I forget every scene.
The what's the kid? Who's the guy who plays Gladiator? Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm. He's pissed off about something, and what's the guy Pierce like? Says something shitty to him, right? And then what's the guy from Babe? Cromwell. That guy puts his hand on him. He goes, "You shouldn't do that when a guy's got his, you know, dander up," or whatever the hell he said, right? And I thought about that. It's like, lady, I'm in the middle of a confrontation. Don't come at me in the middle of that. I'm already mad. So, yes, I probably should not be yelling at a 60-something-year-old woman.
Might have had a father that was in that war.
Okay, yes. So
personal to her, Joe.
I should not.
Well, I would have hoped she saw it the week before, if it was that important.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's been out for like 4 weeks. Good point, right. But yeah, if that, I should not have yelled at that lady, but she got me at the worst time.
I know,
to
but
do
I
that.
Think you also have to remember where you are sometimes. You know, we're not, it wasn't.
Yeah, Joe, come on.
Not, okay.
No, but what I mean is we're not like in a loud restaurant or like in, you know, Walmart or something. We're in a quiet, I mean, when you, we're not in a society where like,
I
people
hear you.
Aren't constantly on edge.
But hear me.
So if somebody starts yelling, like I just get nervous about, you know, there's crazy people. Someone can pull out a gun.
Right. Okay. So remember,
that hothead Joe.
The guy, he was in your seat.
Listen,
that,
you're
hear me
100%
out.
Correct.
I know. Hear me out. So, and by the way, I know I'm not supposed to yell in a crowded movie theater.
You're mad at me right now. I
no,
can
no,
tell
stop.
You're mad at me right now.
Well, if you say that, I am. No, I'm not mad. I know I'm not supposed to yell in a crowded movie theater. I know that. But I was mad because this guy asked if he really had to get out of my girlfriend's seat. She was going to have to sit two seats over.
Look.
You know what I mean? So once I heard that, I started getting pissed. And then the needler came in. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
I don't think Jordan Peterson would have approved of your behavior.
No
Joe.
Chance he would have approved of it.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the bachelor parties coming up. We got some Marcus Serta news. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob blew... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
Greatest Hits 92.1 WVTK. There is Billy Joel. There's more great hits on the way, so don't go anywhere. I'm Nikki Diamond. If you're going, who is this clown? Well, my name's Nikki. And I'm here, and now I'm filling in for JJ. It's only temporary, so don't worry, don't stress. Things will return to normal shortly. In the meantime, great hits coming up from Rupert Holmes and Night Ranger. Right now, it's BTO. We're taking care of business. Remember, you can find out what's happening in your community. Go to 921WVTK.com.
Peace. Pina Colada and the Pina Colada song and
Greatest Hits 92.1 WVTK. And with open arms, I reach out. So come over here and hug this speaker. And let's hold each other while we listen to Journey on 92.1 WVTK. Greatest Hits 92.1 WVTK. Remember your CPR training. When you start to do those compressions, do it to the beat of the Bee Gees' Staying Alive. You can save a life just listening to 92.1 WVTK.
Nice.
What's that?
That's Nikki Diamond on 92.1 WVTK.
Now, I explain, because I saw somebody. Nikki Diamond is a character that I do on the Mike O'Mara show as a the Vegas betting guru, sort of lovable loser type. Although I appear that they're phasing me out. When I wasn't on for the Super Bowl, I thought that was a clear.
Yeah, that should have given it
but,
away.
But I saw somebody had posted like a screenshot of Nikki Diamond on Country's 96, whatever. So that but I never pieced together what exactly that was.
Yeah, I put it out there that Nikki Diamond was going to be on WVTK, and I just left it out there to see what traction it might get. And it was interesting, the responses I got. And then I started to get notes the day that he debuted, which was last Monday, and people started, is that you? Are you Nikki Diamond? And then I started getting that chain of messages from people last week.
Is that your regular station?
No, it's one in our station group. And
I gotcha.
So, because of some other news, I was asked to do a show and cover for a guy who was out. But because of the high-profile nature of my new position, I had to change my name on the other show. So
wait a minute.
When we were having the conversation, they're like, what do you think of a name? And I was like, oh, I'll go with Jack Diamond. And he's like, nah, but come back later and come back with a name. And Nikki Diamond stuck with me, and I ran with it. And that was Monday, some air checks from the Monday show. The longer as the week went on, by Friday, I couldn't have sounded more like Wolfman Jack if I tried harder. I mean, I was so jive by the end of the week.
That's Nikki Diamond.
It was pretty cool.
Do the Mike O'Mara show boys know that you've stolen the character that they penned? Is that the word? Penned? Coined? Phrased?
But you made that name up, right?
No.
They did?
Yeah.
I think if...
Uh-oh.
You know, they're going to know now, and as far as I'm concerned, what difference does it make? I mean, honestly, they think I stole Nikki Diamond when Nikki Diamond was a guest on American.
That's true. There's a lot of controversy around this. Well, Joe and I will be on the mothership on Thursday, March 14th.
Are you going to bring this up? Show?
No, well, we might, you know, look, we might bring up that Rob Spiewak, you know, has starred in many of our murder mysteries, is now a HBO television star on Crashing. So clearly
he
learned
use
a lot from that.
Stars from HBO.
Yeah, we'll use that in our bio for our company. Great job, by the way, Rob. You and Sarah were very believable as radio disc jockeys, the morning show.
So, Marcus, you got a new job?
Yeah, I accepted. So I've been away a while. We haven't talked in a while. And while everything has been happening, on the same day, I was offered an opportunity and I was let go from a company I was working with. So, but I accepted the job opportunity I was offered. I am now the program director for News Talk WVMT, which is a heritage radio station here in the Burlington-Plattsburgh market. And I am now also the morning show host of the morning drive with Marcus and Kurt.
Good for you,
Let
man.
Us know when the station that you're the program director on, because I know it's a news program, if they want the Rob and Joe show.
Yes.
We'll do nights for you guys, all right?
Well, here's the thing. So as the program director, one of the things that I've been asked to do is to bring a new lineup to the weekends, because right now it's news talk heavy. It's a conservative station.
Perfect.
So I'm having a very interesting time with that. Robbie will be tuning in regularly, but on the weekends, the ratings and listenership drops off dramatically. So I've been asked to take out the news talk programming and maybe put in some more variety programming. So I'm going to be looking for some stuff on the weekends.
All right. Let us know.
Well,
we're in.
I have somebody at Facebook message me. Are we doing this political debate thing, me versus Serta? He said he's down. He seems confident. So let's do it.
Who's that?
Chris Restivo.
All right. Man.
He was pushing that agenda on the break. I don't know what was up with that. He reached out to me directly to have that conversation. It's like, really? I mean, you don't stand a chance, but if he really wants to, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Don't be so full of yourself. It is.
You know who doesn't want that? Anyone listening. Or your bosses. So Omericast is officially over with?
Yeah, I put that video out last week. Some drama unfolded on TMOS, I started getting a number of notes from people asking about Omericast. Where is it? You know, great if it was back, talking about what's happening right now. And so I just, in one video message, just said, look, it's done. You know, the last show was the one that you did with Jim Amato. It was a great show promoting TMOS. The boys obviously didn't get it, and they pulled the plug on it, and I don't have a desire to bring it back. They said publicly they were reworking for 2019, and Oscar was a douche this past week and said, oh, well, I am reworking, and I'm talking to somebody else about doing Omericast without Marcus.
Hmm.
And it's like, no, Omericast is my show, so let's get over ourselves.
What would they call it instead?
They can call it whatever the hell they fucking
want. So, I was going to go to the other direction. Did you have a question?
No, I was just going to mention, speaking of changes, I know we announced this. By the way, if you're not a Patreon, this is a commercial for that. It's about 3 weeks ago, we let our Patreon listeners know that Mike Anderson, producer of the 98 Rock yes. Morning Show, was leaving that position. As a matter of fact, I know that was information that was hard to get because I got in trouble for that. I got,
oh, really?
Yes, I got not in trouble. Justin texted me. He goes, hey, did you mention that Mike was not going to be the producer? And I go, yeah, but I cleared it with Mike first, which I did. He goes, don't say anything else about it. So once he said that, I was.
Whoops.
No, not whoops, because I was glad because I showed him the text between me and Mike. So he knew, hey, I don't betray a trust, right? But also that I knew we had juicy information, which we always do, that is just not available. Now, obviously, we have listeners all over the country that don't know who the hell Mike Anderson is, but
right.
for those local listeners, that was information that wasn't available until about 3 weeks later.
Well, on this next bonus show, you have a story about something that you said on the main show.
Oh, my gosh,
that
yes.
That got you, is threatened the correct term?
No, I didn't know.
That got someone angry at
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Angrier than that woman in the movie theater.
Way angry, yeah.
Yes.
About as angry as I was.
Right. So we'll get to that on the next bonus show.
Marcus, I haven't even heard that story. Business.
I'll save it for Patreon.
Marcus, you're in the radio business, and so this Leaving Neverland, the Michael Jackson documentary that they showed at Sundance, is now on HBO. And it's very graphic, two people detailing their experiences with Michael Jackson. Are we going to see radio stations stop playing Michael Jackson's music?
I think we will. I think that there will end up being a movement and people will start to ask for it to be removed. I do know radio stations that have already lessened him. You know, for those in the know, he would traditionally be on most stations that would carry him, put in the gold category. But they've actually backed him off and lessened him so that he's running far less frequently each and every day. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a push for radio stations to go, we don't want to touch this.
Right.
This is it's sort of like the R. Kelly thing. A lot of stations drop R. Kelly.
Yeah, there's a big difference between it because, you know, R. Kelly isn't a transcendent star.
No, and Michael Jackson will be played on more stations. He'd be played on 80s, on R&B, and on Top 40.
Mix and all that stuff, yeah. But
and some adult contemporary songs.
Here's the real question. We have a Michael Jackson murder mystery. That thing's dead. We talked about that with Mara Rheinstein. We can't. We'll never be able to do that again, especially.
Yeah.
We maybe could have had squeezed one in real quick, but that's not happening now. The big thing now is, and we're not changing this, is at the end of our Halloween murder mystery, we do a whole number to Thriller.
Yeah.
I'm not changing it.
I'm not changing it either. I don't think we need to. And I think, look, it's I don't know. In a way, the Thriller video is sort of a metaphor for Michael Jackson's life. That he, by the end of it, maybe
you'll
he's a monster.
If the audience starts to comment on it.
Yeah, they will. You were up. But by the time we hear that, it'll be next year's Halloween, and we'll worry about it later. But I'm not going to change it. But do you, I mean, like Cirque du Soleil has the Michael Jackson show. They're going to stop doing that, right?
Yeah, it's done. Imagine that. I mean, we only invested. By the way, we made our money on that.
Yeah.
It sucks that we have to take, because we have 9 murder mysteries. We did 7 of them. Now we can only do 6, and that's after we have a brand new one. So it does suck to kind of lose one because, you know, when you have 7 to choose from, there's a lot of different things you can do at a lot of different venues. But it's funny, at work today, I was talking about that Michael Jackson thing, and I said to one of my coworkers, yeah, we have this Michael Jackson murder mystery, but which we can't do anymore, but at one, we do Thriller at the end, and they go, well, why don't you just do the Monster Mash? There's a big fucking difference between people get a lot more excited for Thriller than they do the by the way, what kind of dance are we
I don't know
do
I mean there's a dance at the end. Look, the Thriller video is the most famous video of all time, so.
It's the most famous video of all time. It's clearly the most famous dance in a video of all time.
Yes,
it's not the most famous dance of all time, although the Monster Mash is a dance. I don't know what it is.
No, but it's we're not doing that.
And I believe it's from the 60s.
But
is that right?
For your help,
yes,
though.
The 60s. The Monster
She's not
Mash?
The one writing the murder mystery, is she?
No.
So, what if you're a Michael Jackson impersonator? Is your career over with?
You're done. And, you know, by the way, there's some people that got like plastic surgery to look like Michael Jackson.
Yes.
It's the worst person you could look like. It's like, I want to look like O.J. Simpson. Ah, fuck that
but
up.
I don't know if you're done, because there's going to be some, I mean, just by perusing social media, you know, one thing about social media is people, they'll die on any hill. So there's still people that are going to hold out. They're going to, in his defense, they're going to seek out Michael Jackson's music to support anyone that's playing it. Or supporting him.
I'm going to exclude anything political.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, like Brett Kavanaugh, they have these hearings. 50% of the world are sure he's a horrible misogynist rapist. The other half thinks he's completely innocent. He's never done anything wrong.
Right.
That's a different thing. But as far as celebrity, you know, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, you know, wanting something to be true, it should never, ever, ever enter the equation. We all don't want kids to have been raped.
Of course not.
So you have to remove that from it. You know, if it's your family member, I get it. All right? But if it's just somebody whose music you like, okay, well, I'm sure that, you know, Van Gogh cut his ear off. I'm sure there's a lot of shit that he did that was screwed up. You can still appreciate his art. Mm-hmm. If you can't, I get it. If you can't separate it, that's fine. But if you are such a big fan that you can't accept him being that, okay, well, don't defend it.
Yeah, I don't even really have a problem with you still listening to the music. To go on Facebook and Twitter and to defend it, it's just like.
Well, also, you don't know shit.
Well, no, this is the thing you do know. You do know that he. A grown man enjoyed the one-on-one company of 7, 8, 9-year-old boys and would sleep in the same bed with them and would have multiple locks in his bedroom and have porn in his bedroom and would talk to him on the phone for 9 hours. Things that are inappropriate.
Nine hours?
Yes.
What did you talk to a child about?
I haven't talked to anybody about it. No, he literally would do this. They wanted us to have the kid for a year. I mean, without even anything sexual, it's inappropriate and it's wrong and it's disturbing.
So my nephew, Katie's brother's kid. Okay, he'll be 3 in April. He's adorable, right? And he was doing this thing where he was pushing me into this wall where we were eating, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, stop pushing me. He loved it. He thought it was hilarious. After he pushed me into the wall 3 times, I was like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Can you imagine having a 9-hour conversation with, this is a kid I love.
No.
Can you imagine having a 9-hour conversation about Power Rangers and Pokemon or whatever the hell he's talking about? Yeah.
Because I used to be, because this thing with Bill Cosby, most of us really had no idea about the stuff that was going on. So when we first heard it, it was a initial shot to the system. Like, what? Bill Cosby? But we've known that Michael Jackson, at the minimum, was weird.
Right? I mean, that's not been anything that's came out of nowhere.
You know he's extremely weird because of the way he, what's it, body dysmorphia or whatever he's done to himself, yes, and not really be self-aware at all about this creature that he was making himself into. That's the first thing. The second thing you know is that he had an abusive father and didn't have a childhood.
Yes.
It's the recipe for this. By the way, you can't excuse...
Which is no fault to him that his childhood was the way it was.
Right. You can't excuse the act. You're guilty. But I certainly have sympathy for how you got there. Doesn't mean that you aren't just as accountable, you know, if you're caught doing that. But
right,
clearly you understand how somebody can get so fucked up that they don't really understand how to behave as an adult. And if anybody was ever in that situation, it's somebody that since the age of 5 years old, everybody in the world was telling them they were the greatest thing that ever was.
Yeah.
So, you know, and every single thing that you do, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who can't wait to see you do it, right? Whether it's you walking out of your house or eating at a restaurant or whatever. So the idea of him being a normal person, it's impossible. It's not, yes, possible for him to be a normal person.
Of
it absolutely
not.
Can't happen. So the idea that anybody thinking that this is unbelievable.
You're lying to yourself.
Yeah, of course.
You are lying
yes,
to yourself. But, you know that this is not. Look, I used to be in the camp. Well, he didn't have a childhood, so he's acting like a kid. But you know what? No one ever, as a kid, only would hung out with one boy and sleep in the same bed with him and then trade him out for another boy. That's not how you hung out. You hung out with other kids. It's just everything about it is just, come on, common sense, people.
Let me read a couple things from chat real quick. First of all, it says, hilarious way to end the show.
Thank you.
That's right, child rape. And then Colby says, Rob, if you found out that Prince 100% touched a bunch of kids and paid for it to go away, would you still listen to his music?
Yes.
You would, and I believe that you would.
I'm still going to listen to Michael Jackson's
it
music.
Might have an effect.
Of course.
It might have an effect.
I would definitely be hurt by it.
And then Amazing Caucasian said, Joe probably has Cialis. They spelled Cialis, C-I-A-L-I-S-T, whatever. Then it says, or whatever it is. So where did that come from?
I don't know. Your temper from your penis issues? I don't know.
But wouldn't Cialis take that away?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I've taken Cialis.
Nice.
Yeah, you told a story on here.
Yeah.
Taking it before.
I forget which John Mulaney special it was. I think it might have been the most recent one, but it doesn't matter for the story. But you're speaking about, you know, being normal Michael Jackson. He said Mick Jagger was on SNL when he was writing, and people were like, was Mick Jagger nice? He's like, no.
You mean Mike, was Michael Jackson nice?
No.
Oh, you mean Mick, was Mick Jagger nice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
John Mulaney was on SNL. And talking about celebrities, and are they... He's like, no, he's not nice. His whole life, basically, whatever he wants, people do it for him. It's not a real life. It's not a normal social way to interact. So he doesn't have normal social skills, because how could you?
It
wasn't an insult. It was just, no, he's not a nice person. How could you be nice?
I thought the direction you were going, which I've heard before, about other artists who have performed or met with Michael Jackson and only just talk about how strange he is, even Paul McCartney.
Right.
Who had two giant hits. He had a number two hit in the girl's mind. And say, Rob, you're going to probably know this, but that might have been a number one hit.
Yeah, might have been.
I assume they both were, actually.
Well, you never heard about Michael Jackson hanging out and doing things. Like every other, like even Prince, who was considered, you know, a little weird too, always, it seemed, was like, was a social butterfly, have friends.
When he married... Elvis Presley's daughter, whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah, Priscilla, or...
No, Priscilla's his wife.
Yes.
I was trying to remember the name.
Jamie? No, that's another person.
What's her name, Robbie? Lisa Marie. Jeez, what's the matter with me? God, anyway, yes. When he married Lisa Marie, every single person thought, well, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Nobody thought, oh, this is real. Say was a number one hit for 6 weeks. And The Girl Is Mine, a number two hit.
Lisa Marie's daughter was on that Girlfriend Experience. Very hot.
Right.
By the way, has Lisa Marie come out and said, hey, yeah, this wasn't real?
I don't know. God.
She hasn't. Why? Because she doesn't want to be portrayed that way? What are the chances they had sex?
0%.
By the way, do you ever see the mother of his children?
Yeah.
She just looks like, you know, some house frou or whatever.
It's so weird.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Because, you know, when Melissa Etheridge was going to have a baby, she got David Crosby. so that she they could have two great musicians. That seriously,
right?
And then she used his sperm, and then I think the other lady in the Melissa Etheridge, her wife, carried the baby.
Who Koechner is? They're friends with them.
The couple?
Yeah, they watch the Chiefs games together.
Well, I guarantee you that kid is probably.
Both, she's from Kansas City, Melissa Etheridge.
I bet their kid's a teenager. I wonder if it's a great singer. It's got to be, right?
I don't know. I'm going to see Koechner. I'll be in Tacoma, Washington this week. I'll ask him.
I don't have anything to do. Thank really? God. Not until
nothing.
We have 5 shows in April for the murder mystery. Nothing left for.
Do we have 5?
March.
I think it's now 4. Now.
We have 4, but we have 2 shows in one night. Brightbox.
I'm counting 4.
Are you counting the Brightbox as 2?
Yes.
All right. Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry.
Well, we
about
had
that.
5, but then we couldn't do 1 because it was a cast member's girlfriend's birthday.
Okay.
Are you counting that one?
Yeah, I must have been.
Yeah. So that one's done. Hey, the bachelor party, Joe. It's getting close.
Hey, we can't not have murder mysteries every time there's a birthday. There's 8 people in the cast, and each of them have significant others. 16 birthdays?
I agree.
Jeez, we got to talk to this guy.
I know. Well, it's not his fault.
No, I can't talk to her. I'm scared
no,
of her.
I'm scared of her. I'm on her side.
Yeah, me too. Sorry, yeah. I can't even believe I mentioned it.
Yep, Lito's Pizza. Anyway, we'll talk bachelor party next week because that's, well, no, I guess we got, never mind. You know what? We're running out of things to talk about. We'll see you next week.
Later.